This is an Uncharted North and Interparty Conflict collaboration. Welcome back, everyone. Gabe here. Last time in our game of Dawn of Worlds, we moved around some land, witnessed the arrival of some gods, and saw the birth of a platypus race and their evil cousins. So let's not waste any more time and let's get right back into the game as we start the History of Swal Part 2, The Age of Races. So we're moving into the second age, the Age of Races, and the main difference here is that so most of the point costs for everything have gone down, with a few exceptions. So like races are a lot easier to make; they're only 6 points instead of 22 points. Sub races are 4 points instead of 12 points. Shape land and shape climate have gone up a little bit. So shape land is 5 points instead of 3. Climate is 4 points instead of 2. This is the era where we're gonna start making a lot of races, start making a lot of civilizations, and do stuff with those. So again, this is gonna go for 5 rounds, and then after 5 rounds, we can decide if we want to move on again, or if we want to stick here and do more stuff.
All right, I've shared some screens with you all, zooming in here on the mesa for the viewers.
Love it.
Hope I did okay.
That's pretty
cool. Honestly, I'm very impressed.
Yeah, that's great.
Sometimes it's a little hard to find the right asset in Incarnate because I'm not used to searching for it, and I've barely used this thing. But yeah. But it is kind of fun.
I wouldn't say I'm very impressed, lots in here. But I'm pretty impressed.
No, from now on, the list of Parises goes this Paris, then Texas, then France.
Oh yeah, I gotta write the city name over there, don't I?
Oh Jesus!
Continue on your way there. Their friends.
Okay, so everybody roll 2d6 and then add in your previous value and or the 3 points or whatever you have. Holy crap, Cam.
I saved 18 from last round.
That's a lot of points.
Yeah.
All right. Cam's going to go first, and then Scott and Duncan can duke it out, and then me with an 11 at the end.
I'm no longer the tallest mountain. I am now Cam.
I'm sorry.
Good. I appreciate y'all playing along with the bit as it was.
So it lasted 3,000 years.
So first things first. From the forests come a race of spider people. And so that's going to be create race for 6 spider people.
The platypuses eat spiders.
Which forest are they coming out of?
They're coming out of the forest to the south of the mountain. And okay. I'm going to advance
the tallest
them
mountain?
I'm sorry?
The tallest mountain?
Yeah, the tallest mountain, of course.
Okay.
And I'm going to advance civilization to make them experts in textiles.
Okay.
Because silk, yeah. And then
from
the place where Gabe's avatar touched the mountain and there's the black stone, burst forth these ant creatures covered in that same obsidian structure, and I'm going to advance their civilization to be warfare.
Oh, so wow. Okay.
So you're creating two races?
Yep.
And one of them's textile, one of them's warfare.
Yep.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
And that is 22 of my, frankly, ludicrous 28. I have 6 points left, and I'm going to go ahead and so I can create cities for these now, correct?
I think, yeah, you command the race, I think, to create a city.
Don't really have options for ants. I could do you a cockroach, if you want, or a scarab.
I'll take a scarab.
Scarab.
Go Necron theme. I will command the race to begin building a city for the spiders.
Oh, interesting.
And by ants, you mean scarabs.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever. They call themselves ants.
Okay, you're going to command them to build a city.
Yep.
And where's the city going?
It is going to be at the southeast corner of the mountain.
Okay. Okay, right on the obsidian.
Yep.
What kind? I have a couple options for cities. Are you picky about what it looks like?
I'd prefer something more stone-like.
Okay, let's see what I can do.
So the spiders, like, make massive strands across the trees and use the trees as looms to create these textiles. And the ants are experts in warfare, and well, they're going to get into some other stuff later, but that's it for now.
Cool. So after Cam is going to be Duncan and Scott, you two can decide.
I actually forgot to add my low point bonus onto that, so I should have a 14 instead of 12.
Okay, then Duncan is next.
Okay. Now, wow, there's a lot more living things on this land than there were the last time that the Perry were looking around. Let's just check our point total here. So I would like to create a subrace of Perry people that had moved. They took their boats along the southern shore of our island to that little oasis that I had made on the westernmost island before. They shall be. What shall they be?
What shall they be, indeed, Duncan?
I think they shall be a tree-going people that are also kind of, yeah, they're more kind of like, more militant, more, I'm thinking platypus is throwing coconuts is what I'm thinking.
Because it does matter, I would like both of them to be plus one good for the ants.
Oh, they're good. Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Actually, I didn't look at what, does the subrace have to be the same?
Well, because dark elves are specifically brought up as like subraces of elves that are not good, traditionally speaking.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, subraces don't have to be the same quote unquote alignment as the regular race.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna have some monkey platypuses throwing coconuts on an island, and they will be neutral. Give me some time on the name for them, but it's coming.
Okay. That's the western island,
The westernmost island. Yes, if you can have. Okay. Monkeys with duck bills cajoling about. You got that kicking around there, Freeman?
Oh, man. Just you wait.
So is that a new race or is that a sub-race?
Well, it's a sub-race of Perry's.
Then, not that this is necessarily like a rules-based limitation or whatever, but I'm just curious, how did they get all the way over there from... Oh, I guess they have boats.
They took a boat along the southernmost.
They're boaters.
Perfect.
They got boats out of the out the wazoo.
Yeah, and the wazoo wind took them west, and there they shall be commanded to build a treetop city much like those levels in Donkey Kong.
Okay.
And that will leave me with 6 points. You know what? I'm going to... What can I do pretty easily here?
More forest?
You know what, I'll just stick with no, I need that bonus. I'm going to advance my city. They will use the mesa to start rudimentary flight.
Oh. Like hang gliders?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's my turn.
Is that your turn?
Yep, that's my turn.
All right, Scott is next.
Mm-hmm.
So the Avatar sinks beneath the waves lapping into this large bay here and then rises above, but the form has changed from kind of a humanoid. What looks, and it is still invisible, like it's coming out of the water, looks like almost like a rising mountain, a spire wide, and then it kind of shapes back down, and then you see lots of legs and arms underneath it, and the shape that you would kind of think of is that of a hermit crab, but gigantic, and it creates a race of hermit crabs within its image. And so they exist at the very end of this peninsula, just below the forest between the mountains. And I also would like to advance them at the same time. So I'm gonna spend a total of 12 points here, and they have magic.
Ooh, okay.
Oh my.
So hermit crabs, kind of pointy shells, magic, and that's my turn with 2 points left over.
If I could just jump in real quickly, the sub-race I just made are called the Chimperi.
Oh my god.
mine are called the Skitandi and the Formic, respectively, from the spiders and the ants.
God, I am so behind right now. It's crazy. I'm gonna have to pause the game for a sec and sort out some details. This is you had a city in the trees, you said?
yeah, little city in the trees.
God.
Like Donkey Kong, I believe was the reference.
Donkey Kong.
Freeman, how do you not have this done already?
Screw you, Cam. okay, I'm going to just plug this building into the trees. Also, I can't find anything for flying stuff. Like, literally nothing, which seems kind of strange. I can't find kites, planes, wings, nothing. So it's kind of...
Doesn't use theater show of the mind. Map, I guess.
Yeah, Theater of the Mind on this that one, I guess. Mm-hmm. Send me the spellings of your races, please. And Scott, I can't find any crabs either. There's literally no crabs. Is there a lobster?
Any crustacean?
I found a lobster.
That's fine. Not accurate, but fine.
This is ridiculous. This is getting harder and harder to figure out.
So, Scott, were you done with your turn?
I am.
Okay. So, on my turn, I've got 11 points. First, the Perinox. I'm going to command them to build a city inside the giant bottomless pit.
Oh,
basically, they, dig down into the walls of the pit and build a city along, a vertical city in that shaft.
Corrupted
who knows
Mesa.
How far down it goes.
Cool.
And the city is called Perinoxburg.
Oh.
And then I'm going to spend 6 points and create a race. I create a race over on the island, the two islands that are up to the northeast. Out from somewhere in there emerge a race of eyeball people. They are I don't know, 4 or 5 foot tall eyeballs. So a little over a meter for you people who don't use freedom units. They are giant eyeballs with red tentacles that come off their backs that they use as all purpose limbs.
I don't like that.
And they are called the Holden.
Sorry, did you say that they had an alignment?
I did not. I'm going to say they're, seems pretty obvious. They're going to start off one evil.
Hey, why are eyeballs evil?
I don't know.
You said it was obvious.
Eyeballs. I thought it was. Okay, maybe it's not. And then I guess I don't know if I said it before, but the Perinox are one evil as well.
Okay.
And actually, no, I take back the eyeball thing. They're neutral.
Yeah, I like that. Can't judge a book by its
cover.
Maybe
people assume that they're evil because they're eyeballs.
Yeah.
Gross looking. So that was 10 points that I spent, leaving me with one.
If I could just hop back in here for one moment. I did not align my creatures, and the crab people will be neutral, and they are called the Crundle.
What round are we on, by the way? I lost track.
Round one.
I think that was round one.
Oh, it was still round one. Holy shit!
That was round one of the city. Oh yeah, the Age of Race.
Yeah, because we're getting to play with all these new toys.
Yeah, getting some real getting to the meat of it. This is cool. I love this so much.
All right, so yeah, whenever you all are ready, roll 2d6 and add the relevant numbers. Okay. All right, so this round, I'm going to go first with 14, followed by Scott, and then Cam and Duncan both with 9. You can duke it out. So on this turn, I am going to create an avatar, which is 7 points. So from the... Actually, sorry, before I create an avatar, I'm going to command the Holden to create a city. So there is now a city of eyeballs. So that's 4 points.
Is that within within the pit or no? Points.
No, sorry. The Holden are on the island. I'm sorry. I didn't draw them.
There's a city in the pit, though, right?
There is a city in the pit, yeah.
And who's people?
And that is Perinox.
Oh, that's the Perinox. Okay. So the eyeball people are on the island, the small islands there?
Yes. So they're mainly the larger of the two islands. Maybe I'll create a sub-race on the smaller of the two. So the eyeball people create a city, and then from that city comes a paragon of their race, which is what the avatar is. It doesn't necessarily have to be a deity, but a hero of the Holden comes out, and his name is Beholden.
Oh boy.
Ooh. And that is so that leaves me with three points, so that is my
gotcha.
Turn.
Gotcha. Okay.
I guess I didn't give the Blackstone avatar a name. I guess he doesn't have a name.
Who's next?
Oh, sorry. That was me. So Scott is next.
Okay, and so I'm gonna spend 10 points, and there's a catastrophe.
Oh,
but it befalls the Crundle, my own people, and what happens is there is a meteor shower, and they're all looking up to the sky, thinking that this is going to be some sort of boon for them. They're looking up and thinking, wow, what a magical event from our avatar, our creator, our god. But no, these lights come raining down in balls of fire and wipe out about half of the civilization, just destroys them. And then once that is completed, the avatar, seeing the destruction of his people, I'm going to command the avatar to move to the south, to where the obsidian, now let me know if this is too much for one command avatar, but where those obsidian smaller mountains are, I would like the avatar to go and begin mining with his huge claws, mining pieces of stone from that.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, works. And that's my turn for 11 points.
Your avatar, meteor shower on the Crundle people, and then the avatar leaves the water and goes to mine on the opposite side of the Dark Rocks, is like the Formic people and like the scarabs and the spiders.
Yeah, the rocks that are spiky between the world's largest mountain and the shore.
Yeah. So I just want to make sure, just being clear, because you're coming in, I assume you're coming in from the northern side and not like necessarily interacting with the people on the other side of the mountain. Okay.
And he is invisible. So if those people are in the area, they are just seeing these spires of obsidian just crack and split and fall over and, you know, big like shatters of obsidian just shooting out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do we have a name for all the avatars? We have the Beholden we got from Gabe here.
Beholden, and then I think let's just say Obsidian is the name of the
other one. Yeah, okay.
The first one,
original. And where is Obsidian now?
He like merged into part of the mountain and is gone.
And there is no name for my avatar.
No name, invisible. Good work, Scott. I've just been moving around a starfish as a representation of your...
It works. Whatever works.
It works.
Why are you hitting from outside the club, Freeman? You can't even get in.
All right. So we have three avatars, right? Okay, cool. I think I've got this.
Oh, shit. I didn't give you a name for my avatar.
You got James Cameron beat already.
Oh, yeah. You didn't. I forgot about your avatar. Still at the top of the mountain. And I have like a... I've used an Iron Maiden. That's the option here.
Can I do a slight recon? I want to say that instead of the horse... No, wait. I'm sticking with the horse head. I'm not going to walk it back. But its name is Iron Stallion.
Snake.
That works.
Iron Stallion.
Oh, wait. Sorry. God damn it. I have a name.
Come on. Use your words.
The tallest mount.
It's the tallest mount.
The tallest mount.
Oh, that's so good.
Duncan, that was Duncan. Yeah.
I think that was Duncan.
Oh, that was good.
Typical.
Oh, that's classic. Okay. Sorted. And sorry, did the Crundle people die? Or are they just devastated?
No, like a lot of them did.
Okay. I've made the command decision that there are many rare rocks now in that area from the incredible meteor shower.
Ooh, okay.
Okay.
Cool. So that was Scott, Cam, and Duncan can... Or no, was, or was...
That was the...
Was that Scott's turn?
Yeah,
to just
Duncan
finish?
Right now.
Okay.
Oh, okay. The Perry people, upon their perch, peer about and see some, you know, there's a lot going on. So I would like to create an order within that race around Paris. From sea and from air, they would like to have a class of kind of defenders. They're not looking to lead any kind of conquest, but this area like around Paris that they'd probably be fishing in this little bay, they'd probably be looking out for the frankly fucking threatening looking sorry, what was the name of them up there? The
Paranox?
Paranox people, yeah. Oh, Paranox. Yeah, they're threatening looking. Anyways, yeah, so they're going to have a bunch of, we'll call them privateers, is the order that I shall create for 6 points. That will leave me with 3, and I shall end my turn.
Okay, so, sorry, you've created an order called the privateers, and they're focused more on flying and...
I like with the technology they developed by sea and air, just defending their territory, maybe strapping explosives to whatever they've got.
Okay.
All right, Cam is next.
With the mining of the obsidian happening with this avatar, I'm going to create a sub-race of the Formic, the ant people, and with Scabs. The scare. Sorry. I'm so sorry, boss. I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry I don't have ants. I'm yeah, really disappointed. No, I want them to be ants too. Just gonna be misrepresented here.
There will be God damn it. I'm trying to recover, hang on. Why is this so funny?
Get it together.
Okay. With the avatar mining away vast swaths of obsidian, the Formic subrace divides and are able to gain access to granite. And I'm going to create a subrace of the Formic I'm going to advance them, and they're going to be advanced at architecture. And so they're going to access the granite from the mountain to begin to build amazing structures and houses for all the people here, so that everyone can have their own domicile and wonderful like kitchens and everything else.
Okay, so subrace Formic people, and they've taken away some of the obsidian mountains
because Scott came over here and robbed me blind
yeah,
of both intellectual and creativity. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding. I actually typical. Really like what Scott's going on, and if there was anywhere on this island I had to live, it'd be Scott's place, but right now.
Yeah, right now.
Poison swamp all the
despite
way.
the hurdles that they're going through. Here's my little ant people. And it's gonna get weird here in a little bit longer, but that is all 9 of my points. So that is it for me for now.
Where are your houses? Just where the ant people are?
They're where the ant people are.
Yep. Beautiful. So they're a little bit on the sub-races on the far side of the mountains now, for the obsidian.
Well, they were building the houses for everyone, I believe, including your spider people, if I'm correct, or just the ants?
For the Formic sub-race is also going to be good. I will get you a name in a second.
Okay. All right. I think I got it. It's going to be crowded.
I'm excited for this next round.
Anyone next?
No, that's the end of the round. So everybody roll 2d6.
Round 3.
And add the relevant numbers. Looks like I'm going first with a 15, then Duncan with 13, Scott with 12, and Cam with 6. So on my turn, I'm going to advance my civilization of the Holden, and they are going to become unmatched in the field of communication. They have some method of communicating with everybody, or everybody who does not actively want to refuse communication. So that's them. I'm also going to advance the civilization of... That's 5 points. I'm also going to advance the civilization of the Paranox to become masters of art. So they're these, like, kind of savages that are building their home into this bottomless pit. However, their homes are beautiful. They're carved out of this obsidian that makes up the walls of the pit. And anyone who found themselves down there would just be amazed at how beautiful all of the carvings and everything are. That leaves me with 5 points. So I'm going to go ahead and make a sub-race of the Holden on the other mountain, or not the other mountain, on the other island, the island to the south of them. There is another race of beings, but they're instead of the being giant eyeballs that have like tentacles that come off as all-purpose pseudopods, these ones, the eye sort of inverted a little bit and basically turned into giant ears. So there's big eyeball people and then another island of ear people.
Yucky.
And they are called the Eldin.
Okay. So ear that eyeball people.
Yes, that leaves me with 1 point, and that is my turn.
I don't have any ears. Surprising nobody.
Then how do you hear?
Sorry.
I could do you a heart.
Yeah, sure. Let's go with that instead. They turned into giant hearts. If that's Shit. Easier for you, I'll take it. I didn't know what I was going to be doing with giant
people. It's also kind
people.
Of a cob, so I love it.
Okay.
I heart
and yeah,
people.
They've got basically what would have been like the arteries and such coming off the heart are their limbs.
Okay.
Oof. Okay.
That is my turn.
So I think that's me. And in a sinister flash of cholesterol, I'm thinking of corrupting those heart people.
Nice.
You can do that.
In fact, yes. The arteries constrict slightly. The valves, they leak. Is that what valves do? I don't know. Anyways, I'm going to spend a couple.
They shouldn't.
They're going to be kind of evil hurt people. They don't have a city yet. It's just them sitting there.
Correct.
Hearts in the breeze. Okay, so they will be nomadic evil hearts. And that's 3 points, leaving me with 10. And the Chimperi on the west shall have an avatar rise from the little like oasis pond in the middle of the island. It shall come forth as neutral as possible with basically the look and demeanor of Funky Kong.
Oh shoot, there's a pond in the middle of there? I totally missed the pond.
Oh, it was like a little oasis thing. But
yeah.
It was poorly
drawn.
No,
I can fix that's an easy
fix. He can crawl up from the beach and just kind of like, you know, emerge from the sea.
I got
mojito
it. And what kind of avatar does he look like?
Big gorilla wearing sunglasses.
Okay.
I doubt you'd be able to get one with a floral print shirt on, but that kind of vibe.
Yeah, not so much, I don't think.
From him, like, there is just a calming of the both weather and people around. He's chilling out that island.
Okie dokie. Well, best I got is just just the same monkey but bigger. That'll do. Oh, this is so funny. All right, who's next?
All right, Scott is next.
That'll be me. So I have 12 points, and the first point will be commanding the avatar, and the avatar returns on the top of his shell with all this obsidian, big pieces, small pieces, all sorts, and returns to his people and deposits this obsidian before returning to the water. And so that's 1 point. Second thing is that because of what's happened, they become corrupted. Ooh. So for 3 points, a civilization becomes a little evil, and then they are going to build a city. So using their magic, they're going to as part of their corruption, they ditch their shells that they once had.
Damn it, I literally just found crabs.
Well, it's okay, that works.
Okay,
they will use their magic to make obsidian shells in which they now dwell. Cool. And then they're gonna finally create their city, but they're gonna burrow down into the ground, but at the same time build these big obsidian structures all around these like holes and caves, just to kind of protect obsidian walls around them. So that is gonna be in this area here, right to the east.
So you're creating so your avatar has basically brought the obsidian back. Is that what happened?
Yep.
And now they've created obsidian caves. Are they clearing the trees to do that, or is it like...
No, well, they weren't in the trees. They were in a sandy area. The trees are to the north. There's a sandy area between the trees and the mountain.
I'm following you. That's pretty cool.
And then, so that is going to be my turn.
Okay. All right.
Cam is next.
Cam, what do you got?
Let's see. I have 6 points. I want to spend at least some of them. I'm going to spend all of them, and I'm going to create a race of butterflies.
Oh, no.
There you go.
What? What do you mean,
fucking ridiculous. I love it.
Why?
I love
it. And they're going to live around the lake. and they are also good. Because I feel like bugs get consistently portrayed as the evil, and I don't want that.
True. It's a true story. Okay. So it was Crundle people, right? I think I spelled it wrong.
Correct, with a K.
All right. Crundle people. Awesome. Need a name for your avatar there, Dunk. And your butterflies are going where, Cam?
To the west of the lake.
West of the lake.
Yeah, just imagine that pretty much all of these insect creatures intermingle. If you want, I could have just made these sub-races for all of them. It would have been cheaper, but I didn't. I felt like that was kind of min-maxing, and I was like, maybe not.
Yeah.
But yeah, they are basically...
So they just appeared to like out of like a field, it seems, right?
There's nothing really there. Yeah, they came from the pollen of the wind. Oh, wait, no. A set of butterflies, bees. Do we have bees?
Ooh, I have some butterflies. I don't think I have a bee.
Okay, we'll do butterflies then.
I could do dragonflies.
I have an idea for those later, so we'll do butterfly for now.
Okay. All right. Butterflies. Here we go. Gotcha. Who's next?
I believe that's the end of the round, so everybody roll 2d6 and add roll numbers. So how many, has that been three rounds?
We're now on round four as far as my tracker goes.
Okay. We're going into round four.
All right, Scott's going to go first, followed by me, and then Duncan, and then Cam. Or Cam, do you add anything to that?
That should be plus two, plus three, okay. So 10.
Okay, Scott, you're first.
Okay, so I rolled 14, and I'm going to create two orders. One is going to be essentially, I'm going to create one army myself, and then I'm going to command the Avatar to speak to the people, to raise a second army, to defend themselves against foes natural and unnatural. So, Freeman, I'm not exactly sure how you want me to portray said armies, but there's going to be two of them in the city, underground city.
In the where is the underground city? In your caves?
Yeah, the caves.
Okay. I'm just going to put a whole bunch more crabs on the map. If that works for you.
Perfect.
And they're just coming out of the caves, and they're hanging out in the trees, and they're just all over the place.
Great.
Any names for said order and name for your city? We need names. More names.
The name of the city will be Crackspire with a K.
Okay.
K-R-A-C-K, Spire. And then the armies, they have no name. They're just the Crundle.
Just the army of the Crundle army?
The Empire of the Crundle.
Okay. No problem. What was this? You had a sub-race name for your hearts there, Gabe?
They're the Elden.
The Elden, okay.
I was going to say the Vena Cava. The Ventricles.
Okay. A couple of armies over there. Just keep track of that, I guess. And who's next?
All right. Is that your turn?
That is my turn, yes.
Okay. So next up, I'm going to purify the Holden. So they are now good. That is 3 points. And I'm going to create an order within them. That's another 6 points. So the Holden, led by their avatar, Beholden, have, through their communications with the rest of the world, begun to piece together that this obsidian is evil. And this order is the Order of Ivory, and they are they're dedicated to basically wiping out all of the obsidian from the world. So they can see that no good is coming from it whatsoever.
Oh, sorry, which race is doing that?
The Eyeballs, the Holden.
Okay. And it's called what? The Order of what?
The Order of Ivory.
Ivory. Oh, that is so awesome. I love that so much.
So that's my turn. I only got 3 points left, so I will save that and do something with it next time.
Cool.
So that was me. Next up, after me, is Duncan.
Okay. I'm actually ahead of Duncan if I can do the sub-race butterflies instead of creator race.
Sure.
I have 12 points, and I am going to spend 5 of those points to make the butterflies the best farmers in the world.
Okay.
There you go.
Farms.
And I am going to create an order with six more of my points. And I'm going to create an order of the ebony. And the ants believe that the obsidian gives them strength and sharpness to prevail.
Order of the ebony.
That's how it's going to be.
And that leaves me with 1 point in the end of my turn.
Okay. Duncan is next.
Okay, how much shit do I want to disturb right now as a pernicious trickster dog god? Trickster dog, yeah.
Trickster dog!
That's what I am. I would like to create an avatar called the Trickster Dog. No, I would like my avatar, I'd like to command my avatar over here. I just had a name for him. What was it going to be? Perry Functree. There we go. I'll spell that out for you. Perry Functree. Exactly how it sounds.
Okay.
Exactly how it sounds.
I was actually close, but I did go with the R-E-E.
So just being a super chill dude, he shall command his city, which is called Treetop Town, to build some chill jungle drums to make some beats with. And then I've decided I'm going to be very shit disturby and command my order to start blasting a hole in the middle of the coral reef so they have a clear shipping lane to the north. Privateers shall use their ships and their dive bomby materials to start blasting.
Okay. Do I have assets for explosions? That's the question. Search fire.
A similar question that should probably be asked is, do we want to say that needs to be done with shape land, or?
I don't even know if it would be effective. Like, they might be like have such rudimentary technology that it's stronger than that. I just think that to make the order that has seen itself as defending this city is seeing, you know, how those kind of things get overstepped where they see, oh, well, it would only be defensible to have a clear shipping lane to the north.
Sure.
Really, okay. I just
want to get... So you're not necessarily getting rid of it, but that's their goal, is to get rid of it.
They have begun what can only be described as an industrial effort to try to get through what seems to be a pretty, strong bit of obsidian coral there. Or is it obsidian or is it coral? Is it a different...
I mean, I said it was coral at the beginning, but then everything else pretty much evolved into obsidian, so I'm fine with it being obsidian.
Yeah, I'm fine with them, having trouble with it.
But we've also already kind of said that you can get through. That's how your sub-race was formed, right? You're already able to travel through. So I'm kind of wondering exactly what you're accomplishing.
Well, I think we were saying before that it was hard to get through. Like, you really had to navigate it, and then now he's saying, and maybe that's why it's going to be...
Those who did make it, you know, became so very separated. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah, it's not... they want to make a clear lane for...
Big shipping
lanes. ...what can only be described as industrialized fuckery. Yeah.
I mean, you did advance your civilization, you know, purposely to do that, so I see no reason why there can't just be, you know, you managed to break a hole through. I think that's totally fine.
Sure. Yeah. I was just asking how we wanted to deal with it. Yeah. Either option is fine with me.
Yeah, even just shaping land, I think, is fine. Or yeah, was it a command race you went for?
Yeah, command order, like the defenders.
The privateer order?
The privateers, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I say if you want to go ahead and draw a little lane on there to represent what they've done, I say go for it.
Okay, cool. I'm going to draw a nice little pirate ship going through it.
All right, and then is that your turn, Duncan?
That is my turn.
All right, and then I think that was the whole round. So everybody, go ahead and roll once more, adding the relevant numbers.
We are on round five, last round for the minimum of the age.
Yeah, last mandatory round.
That's the one I meant. Those are the words. Those are the words that my brain computes.
I think fair to say I'll probably be going with 17. So. My people, now buried beneath the ground, raising armies, they continue to be corrupted with their proximity and living within the obsidian. So I spend 3 of my 17 to further corrupt the civilization. Or actually, I'm going to corrupt the city. So the city is now evil. Crackspire. And then, so that's down to 15 points. And then, now, someone else already did military as advancing their civilization.
I did, yes.
Can I do that? Can I do that as well?
I don't know.
I would say each of you should probably choose like a specific type of...
You could be best at war magic military? Since you were already magic oriented.
Perfect. Yeah, because I am seeing war magic is listed in the rules. So like if you're just being more specific, I think that'd be fine.
Well, I'm going to take war magic. Cool. So that is going to be 5. So I've used 7 of my 17 points. And then... I am going to command order to essentially the armies of my people. I have 2 standing armies right now. After being corrupted and learning more about war magic, they are going to leave the caves and disappear into the sea where the Avatar is.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I was about to ask where the Avatar was out into the sea somewhere.
Yeah, it's still just in that bay, just right beside the city. But they are going to disappear beneath the waves.
Like all of the people or just the armies?
The armies. So the armies, like, okay. So there's 2 standing armies and then the people. And the 2 standing armies will go.
Okay.
And that will be the end of my turn. And that is going to be... Oh, hold on. I thought that was more points than it was. So I've used 7... Oh, that was just 3. So I actually still have 7 left. Oh, wait. My apologies, guys.
How much does it cost to shape land at this point, or is it still the same?
5.
That's 5.
5. So I've used 8, and then command is 11, so I have 6 left. Ah, shit. What am I going to use for my last couple?
What to do?
I'm going to... So I corrupted the city, but I, again, am going to corrupt the people as well. So the Crundle are at -2 aligned, and the city is -1 aligned. And that will be the end of my turn.
Okay. Making them more and more evil. I don't quite remember how the what the alignment is significant for. Like, I know you can shift it, but is there a thing for it, Gabe?
I don't think there's anything specific in this, but if you were going to be using it in your D&D world, for example,
just
that area or that city or whatever would just be evil.
Right. Did we cover that for those watching? Like, you know, that was one of the purposes of this game was not just to build a world, but like, you know, it was meant to like facilitate one you could use in writing a book or a story or use in your own D&D world or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I mentioned something about that at the beginning because that's what I used this for last time I played it.
Oh, right. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. For our podcast, we had a Patreon game. Like I had for our patrons, I had a game that some of them were able to play this game with me. We made a world together and then I ran several sessions of a campaign in that world.
So sweet.
Awesome.
Yeah. It was really, really cool. All right, so that was Scott. So on my turn, I'm going to command erase twice and then advance a city. So what I'm going to do is the Holden, having realized that this encroaching obsidian is this corrupting force, they travel across the waters and create a city on the edge of the ocean near the mountain range and the poison swamp. They create a city. And then they're going to create an army within that city. And I'm going to advance that city so that they are very, very defensive. They are masters of fortifications, fortifying their city.
Cool.
And so the town is called...
now have a city.
Yes.
What does it kind of look like? What do the eyeball people kind of give me a
general... So it's a big circle. It's a big circle, and there's a big tower in the middle. So if you were looking at it from above, it would look like a big eyeball.
Okay.
And the city is called the City of Vision. And I have, I think, 2 points left. I have 14 points. I have 2 points left over. I'm going to spend 1 of those points to command my avatar to... he basically is going to... This giant hero eyeball is basically going to plop himself right on top of that tower. And his dedicated job is going to be just observing everything in the lands, watching for the encroachment of the obsidian.
So it's like the Eye of Sauron, but the Eye of Ivory.
Kind of. Eye of Sauron, but good.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Okay. I mean, Sauron was good at one time, too, so...
And that's my turn. I'm left with 1 point.
So, sorry, big circular city with a tower, and the avatar is at the top of the tower, just like Sauron?
Yep, his eyeball is just plopped right at the top.
Is Holden amazing. Good, though? I thought they were neutral.
I made them good last round when I made the Order of the Ivory.
Just a couple good guys against each other. It is what it is.
Yep.
It is what it is.
All right, so that was my turn. Next up is, I believe, it's either Cam or Duncan. Duncan, what did you have with your points added in? Nine total. So Duncan is next.
Yep. Okay, so, I believe I am going to, sorry, I had a plan here, but
there's always a plan.
Everybody got a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Yeah, it's always a wrench in the spokes.
Joke's on you. My plan is to get punched in the mouth.
I should add a piece of paper in front of me to do the quick math and to remember what I was trying to do. That's the move.
Yeah, lesson learned there.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm going to command... I'm going to raise an army at Paris. We'll call it the French Foreign Legion. No, I'm not going to name it. It's just the Paris Army. But so that will be a command city for 4 points, leaving me with 5, and I will end my turn there.
Okay. Cam is next.
Let's see. I think that the Order of the... I am going to issue a command to the Order of the Ebony to retrieve the ebony that has been stolen from us by the Crundle.
Wait a second. took me a sec to register.
And, you know, maybe the Holden misconstrue this aggression in a different way, but...
Sorry, just to be clear, it's obsidian, not ebony.
But. The Order of the Ebony is retrieving the obsidian.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so that is 3 of my 8 points. And it's 5 or under, you get to keep rolling with the ebony. Okay, then that is my turn. Good.
Okay, so the Order of the Ebony has marched over the obsidian?
Over to the Crundle. That's where they're heading.
How
did they go through the poison swamp?
Yeah, there's a poison swamp there.
I mean, there's mountains too. Like, they can go over the mountains.
Sure.
Does it matter how long things like that take or anything?
It's 100 years, I think, at this point.
There's 100 years at this point, so it's still
100 years per turn.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's fair plenty of time enough for these ants to get over there and start rooting around to figure out who's been stealing, who's been criming.
Can't argue with that.
In my mind, not to throw a wrench in your plans here.
Go ahead.
But like, this mountain pass is like supposed to be like impenetrable unless you're gonna like do some sort of action to get through it, or you're forced to go through. You know, it's kind of like you gotta choose if you're gonna like really commit to getting through the mountains or over the mountains or taking the punishment of going through.
Scott, can I throw this back to you?
Yes.
These are people that came from the biggest mountain in the world.
I mean, you could say that for sure. I'm tossing it out there that like
I'm
I don't want to yuck your.
I'm saying that they have 100 years to traverse this and get over the mountains. If it was 10 years,
I think it's totally
then
fair.
I would agree with you that there needs to be a punishment game of, you know, attrition or something else. But I think go ahead. Go ahead, Jeep.
I would say I don't think anybody is intending. I mean, maybe they are. I would say don't take this as you can't do that. Take this as how do they do that? Like, you can narrate a little bit more of.
Okay. The ants pushing through over the next 100 years, it becomes they bring their subs, the sub race, the termites along to help with the architecture of digging a fucking hole through the mountains.
Now we're talking.
Okay.
And they literally just, it is a concentrated effort to push through. They have supply lines. They have, this is unacceptable that they have had for the past 300 years, their resources, the thing that makes them strong, pilfered from them by some invisible fiend. And they are here to make sure that things are made right.
Nice.
Cool.
Which mountain did they pilfer through? Did they grind through?
Not the biggest one, that's for fucking sure.
Right, like west or east of the swamp or further down the line? What do you think, Cam?
You're going to go west of the swamp, I think, probably right here. Like, there's a big part of me that wants to send him through the tallest one that Scott drew, even though I don't think that he was, like, counting squares or anything. But also the fact that it would take him right by the Holden and a bunch of obsidian-covered ants running by would be pretty... You know what? They are going to go through here.
Okay.
They're going to go through the eastern one?
Yep. Because they don't know. They don't know where the people are on the other side, because these are, like, massive swaths of land, so they're just going to see the poison, and they end up going to the right because they came from the east side.
Sure.
Okay. Cool.
Cool. So, that's the end of that round. So, now we're at the point where we can see if anybody wants to vote to go to the next phase.
I vote go to the next phase. Yes.
I vote no.
I vote yes.
I vote yes.
Oh, we're going to the next three yeses.
Okay.
Outvoted.
I feel like we're getting to the point where all the things that we want to do are like very intricate short-term stuff rather than like the 100-year spanning stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, 100-year walk across the mountains right now. No, I'm running across those mountains. Running up the tallest mountain in the land.
Keep running up that hill. Kicking some scarab ass.
Sounds good. Thank you for listening, and tune in next time for the conclusion of The History of Swal, Part 3, The Age of Relations. This has been a collaboration between Uncharted North and Interparty Conflict. For more information, check the show notes at unchartednorth.ca.